Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 26. A Sword Day. They would talk, in the years to come, of the day the Sungate fell. It was a day of blood and vengeance, it was a day of rage and recompense. The lower folds of the gate that was sunk beneath the grey and untouched by Piltoven hands for many years opened first to admit a tide of darkness. Toxic fog rolled in, flesh scouring and choking, and with it came monsters the likes of which the Hextech engineers of the great generators had only seen in their nightmares, and even those were poor facsimiles. This was a tide of tooth and fang, a tide of torn and mutilated flesh, bonded crudely with metal and tortured beyond sanity. The maintenance crawls shook with a bone-rattling howl as the Warwick brought Wrath to Piltover, slamming into the skeleton guard Sungate security that manned the lower levels, where no sane creature would ever possibly attack from. Tragically for the Piltovens, Warwick and the monsters of Smeech's Cybernetica were long since bereft of sanity. Many hundreds of pounds of lupine muscle and chemtech hatred tore into the guards before they could scream. The howl had shaken the air from their lungs and the courage from their bones, and they died moments later to long, brazen claws. The screams only started when the wave of horrors behind the Wrath of Zaun struck them. Warwick gave no encouragement and no speeches. Speeches belonged to mortal men and women. Monsters needed no excuse to spur themselves forward because the taste of blood and the sound of despair were the only things that drove them. Some rallied ahead of them. Sungate security was whipped into a semblance of order by Khadra forces and pushed into a firing line at the mouth of a hallway. The lights were only starting to come back, and their muzzles flared in the dark, sending wave after wave of carbine shots at the onrushing abominations. The men and women screamed at what those flares revealed briefly before darkness closed in. The shots blunted against Warwick's iron fur and ricocheted off of the augmented frames of his host as they hammered into the security forces, who broke in an instant. The Khadra, to their credit, held their ground, falling back in good order by fire and retreat. Their accuracy was better, too, and enough shots slipped through to put down two of Smeech's horrors. They were happier in death, and the others keened and howled in envy as they rushed the guns of the Khadra, crowding the hallway with flesh and metal and overrunning both Khadra and security alike in a welter of gore. It was over in a handful of bloody moments, and Warwick set the howlers and screamers loose in the lower levels to butcher anything still hiding. The Piltovens would flee or they would die. And it had long since stopped mattering to what very little was left of the man within the wolf which one happened.
Monster!
Warwick looked down and found most of a Khadraman staring up at him from the floor. His left arm was gone, shorn off by Warwick's claw, but his right was still bravely gripping his shiny new Tystel carbine as he raised to take shaky aim at the Wrath of Zaun.
Monster!
Warwick rumbled as he turned to bring his snout down to the dying man's level. The Piltoven soldier pressed the barrel of the carbine to Warwick's chest as he rasped,
You're all monsters.
Claws flashed, and the carbine fell into pieces before the Khadraman could even start to pull the trigger, and Warwick bared his teeth as saliva dripped from his jowls onto the Piltoven's full-face filter mask. Through the tinted glass, Warwick could see the man's widening eyes, and in those eyes he could see the reflection of teeth and death. He saw the monster that the man saw and found with a small pang of sadness, and that he couldn't recall what he had looked like before.
Yes,
Warwick growled.
We are.
He wrapped his claw around the man's head.
But we are only what we were made into.
The Khadraman didn't have time to scream before his helm and the head within was crushed into scrap and bone. Warwick dropped the limp and ruined body of the soldier as he stood up on his haunches, arched back, and howled.
Take them! Take them!
Rigo bellowed. and a wave of Grimeward throng charged down the hall with a ragged roar. It was painfully obvious how unused to fighting in tight quarters the Pilties were. Despite their weapons being superior, they jostled one another, knocking their allies askew as they struggled to aim their carbines at the charging throng. Those that did found their shots largely deflected by the thick plates of crude metal the throng wore slung over their fronts and their faces. A few found lucky gaps, an eye slit here and a hip joint there, sending some of their Zonite foes to the ground, but not enough, not nearly enough. Unlike them, Zonites knew how to make a charge down tight quarters, and they fired their snub-nosed sidearms with abandon as they did. They weren't aiming for kill shots. The kills would come from their weighted cudgels and long knives. Those shots kept the Pilties ducking and stumbling, stemming their response and spoiling their aim until the throng could hit them. And damn, did they hit them. It was over the moment the melee began. It was a bloody scrum full of bashed skulls and opened arteries. Cudgels cracked helms and broke bones. Knives punched through the thin fabric between joints into soft, bloody meat. And the Pilties screamed in terror as they broke and fled. The throng knew their work, too. Each one wrestled their targets to the ground, pinning them as they braced themselves while their fellows skipped and stepped over them. The hall was a layered carpet of bodies with the throng on top of screaming, thrashing Pilties whose shouts were soon silenced by blade and bludgeon, while the throng continued to rush forward.
"On, ye mother's sons, on!"
Rigo shouted, leading a squad of Glasgari wardsmen over the carpet. "Clear the level, hall by hall, room by room!" he ordered.
"And leave nothing at our backs but the butcher's work!"
The lights were coming back on, the systems were coming back online, and that meant that soon the automated defenses would too. The hatch behind them was already sealed, but it didn't matter. There was no falling back this time. Today would be the day that the bridge riots ought to have been, back when he had been a younger man with fewer gray hairs and gallons less blood on his hands. Back when his ideals had not been so tarnished.
"Warsman! Find the turret hatches and jam them!"
Rigo jammed his into an alcove, wrenched it open to reveal an undeployed chain gun, and bashed at the gears within until they were a mess of bent metal.
"Secure the floor! We hold it till death or endings!"
They only had so long before Piltover recognized what they'd done and sent more reinforcements. If Zon couldn't slam the gates on them before them, then they would be stuck in a never-ending siege with dwindling resources, damned to bleed out and be remembered as just one more failed rebellion against the tyrants of the Council. This, Rigo thought, would not be their ending. This time Piltover was up against something they had never faced before. A united Zon. Pow-Pow flensed the hall with armor-piercing rounds, the rattle of its chamber punctuating the hysterical cackles of its owner.
"Say hello to my friends of varying sizes!"
Jinx shrieked with laughter as she fired Pow-Pow with one arm and discharged Zapper downrange with the other. One turret hung gutted from the ceiling where it had popped out, while another that emerged from the floor had been shredded before it could even wind up its rotors. Beside the turrets was a killing field of Pilties. Some wore the matte black and brass of Chandra, others the brass and blue of security. Both of them wore the same red as it pooled out from them in cooling puddles. The control blister she'd sabotaged the Sungate systems from was behind her, along with the kiddo who'd helped her out. Nice girl. Probably had a bright future, assuming they all didn't die trying to take this oversized hunk of metal. Jinx bared her teeth as her ears picked up the subtle click and whine of a cycling-up chain gun coming from around the corner she was approaching. Spinning up Zapper's capacitor, she lowered Pow-Pow, strained her ears, then stuck Zapper out and around the corner to fire blindly in what she was at least 75% sure was the right direction. Her rictus grin widened as she heard the chain gun's ammunition feeds cook off and detonated with festive pops and cracks, and she whipped around with Pow-Pow already spinning hot to flens the hallway with shots. Two Chandramen who had the misfortune of having stuck their heads out to determine the damage to the turret got perforated by the high-velocity rounds, and the shouts of dismay from behind where they fell told Jinx they weren't alone. Pulling her arm from Pow-Pow's control socket, she let the heavy weapon drop down to hang from its strap around her shoulder as she darted forward. The hallway bent around Jinx as her chem-hanced speed took her from one end to the other and sent her skidding past the bewildered remaining Chandramen. To their credit, they got their guns up fast. but it wasn't anything like fast enough as Jinx dropped to a knee, dragged Fishbones over her shoulder, and fired the readied warhead into the ceiling above them. The Fraghead, Shrapnel, and Blowback killed all six of them instantly and left a gaping hole where it had struck.
"Up we go," Jinx murmured as she skipped past the pile of ruin and bodies and leapt up into the shredded crawl spaces between the floors. "I'm coming, Blondie," she said as she climbed to the next floor up, hand over hand. "Just you wait. I'm coming."
The closer to the next floor she got, the louder the sounds of gunfire became. Some were the sharp cracks of Pilty carbines, but the loudest was the tooth-rattling shake of chain gun fire. A turret was shooting at something, and it was really unloading. Squeezing into one of the service ducts, just like how she'd gotten into the Sun Gate in the first place, Jinx followed the rattling until she got underneath it, rolled onto her back, and pulled out her toolkit. It was old and reliable, and she made quick work of the panel above her, unscrewing everything and tossing it away. The pipes and wiring went next, clattering into so much scrap and junk that she made a mental note to come back and repair it once they took control of the gate, since it was probably important. Finally, she got to the guts. The bottom repair panel of an automated Mark VI Hextech chain gun lay bare before her. Jinx pried the panel away, tossed it down the service duct, and started rooting around inside.
"Hey there, Mr. Turret,"
Jinx simpered as she yanked out several wires and the rattling whine died down.
"How about you swing around and give the other side a little love, huh?"
Hextech turrets were simple things with a bone-stupid IFF. Normally it would take some decent hardware to change the program, but there was a workaround. Crossing two important wires, Jinx triggered a surge in the turret's targeting system and forced a factory reset, then immediately reactivated it. Now with a blank slate, the turret scanned and found whatever was closest, which Jinx wagered were the brass and blues that liked to hunker down behind them to take pot shots. Target acquired. She watched the rotor spin on its axis as the chain gun rotated and began firing into its own line, and with its new targets acquired and firing angle set, Jinx reached into the gears and jammed a piece of scrap inside so it couldn't swivel back around. Now it was their turret. Scuttling past it, Jinx unscrewed, ripped, and eventually burrowed her way out of the floor paneling and into a brand new hallway one level up where a half dozen Gluskari in various states of perforation lay around her. In front of her, the chain gun was happily shredding through the now fleeing Pilties, but behind her came a familiar voice.
"Excellent timing, Chemlord."
Jinx turned to find Renata Glask stepping out from behind a makeshift barricade along with a large number of her troops.
"Hey up,"
Jinx said with a grin as she hopped out while the Gluskari advanced past her, half barrels up and panning for threats as they reached the turret, which was now twitching wildly as it tried and failed to swing back around to where it knew more threats were waiting for it.
"How are things?"
"Things,"
Renata said the word with an air of disdain as she holstered her revolver,
"are going better than expected. We'd all but cleared this floor when the turrets came back online and pinned us. It was bad fortune, so I appreciate your timely intervention."
"Eh, no problem,"
Jinx grinned as she wiped some of the grime from her hands on the wall, then turned, took aim with Zapper, and shot the turret, frying its systems for good.
"Okie dokie, time to crack some more heads."
"The primary control chamber is two more levels up, and there's a security elevator ahead of us that can take us there, but it's locked down,"
Renata said as she walked beside Jinx down the hall. Her wardsmen were putting down whatever Piltoven security and Kadra were left alive after the chain gun had its way with them, and they stopped in front of a sealed bulkhead, and Renata knocked her prosthetic knuckles against it.
"Can you breach this?"
Nope.
Jinx turned to her with a grin.
"At least not without help."
Snapping around on her heel, she yelled,
"Hey, Pinkette!"
Seraphine popped her head out from around the corner wearing a puzzled expression, then pointed to herself, and Jinx nodded.
"Yeah, you."
Jinx stuck a thumb over her shoulder.
"Come give me a hand with this."
Renata seized Jinx's wrist, and Jinx turned her head slowly to stare up into the chemical eyes of the taller woman who said,
"You will not put her in any danger."
"Relax, Glask," Jinx said thinly as she wrenched her arm free. "I just needed to hum me a tune."
Turning back to the bulkhead, Jinx fished through her pockets and started cobbling together what she would need while Seraphine trotted up beside her and asked, "What do I do?"
"Depends,"
Jinx said as she sprayed some adhesive onto the bulkhead and slapped a tungsten plate over it.
"You can make loud sounds louder, right?"
"Yeah."
"How loud?"
Pretty loud. Why?" Seraphine asked.
Never used tunnel crack?
Jinx asked, grinning as she attached the charge to the plate, armed and raised the trigger. Seraphine's eyes widened, and Glask took two long steps back as Jinx said,
On my count, I need you to make that.
She nodded at the charge,
as loud as you can.
Seraphine nodded as she turned to the charge just as Jinx hit the trigger. The hallway filled with a tooth-aching scream as the tunnel crack vibrated horribly against the seal. Without missing a beat, Seraphine caught the note, harmonized, then brought it higher and higher, finding every single little stress fissure in the metal and tearing them wide until the bulkhead door ripped itself apart and blew inward, crumpling in and falling to the floor of the inner hall with a dull clang. Wiping the blood from her ears and nose, she patted Seraphine on the back and said,
Nice work.
Jinx stepped through the doorway, and only her chem-hanced instincts saved her life as she bent backward to avoid a heavy caliber shot from her right that would have taken her head off from damn near point-blank range. Instead, it hit the wall on the other side of her, blowing a fist-sized chunk out of the metal. Renata wrenched Seraphine back behind herself as a powerfully built figure in matte black armor stepped in close to Jinx with a bulky revolver railed tight to his chest. Throwing Pow-Pow back down the hall at Renata to free herself of the weight, she dropped Fishbones and ducked, twisted, and bent around his shots as he snapped off three more rounds, blowing holes in the wall, before snapping an armored knee up and into Jinx's gut, doubling her over and throwing her back against the cracked wall. His face was a filter mask shaped into a hangdog leer, and it gave off a soft hum as he swung his elbow in and bashed Jinx across the temple, sending her sprawling back into the hall. Jinx had never had her bell rung like that by anyone except Vi with her Atlas gauntlets, and her vision spun wildly as Renata pulled out her revolver and unloaded, giving Jinx precious cover. From the floor, Jinx watched in shock as the armored figure twisted and bent around the angles of the bullets in nearly the same way that she had. But every time he moved, her ears picked up a gut-wrenching noise like the whine of a motor being overtaxed. The moment Renata was out of bullets, she stepped back, and Seraphine stepped forward, brought up what looked like a stage mic, and belted out a sharp note. The air rippled, and still, the man in Khadra Black twisted out of the way of an invisible blade of sound with impossible speed. The edge of it still caught him, sending him spinning back, but he rolled with it, kipped up, and spun out the momentum in midair as Jinx scrambled to her feet. He landed square on both feet at the same time as the empty brass that he cleared from his revolver's chambers reloaded and brought the barrel up.
Too slow.
Jinx's prosthetic was already up, the barrel out and pressed to his armored gut, and the discharge lifted him off of his feet before dropping him to the ground in a heap. Jinx barely had time to chamber a new round into her arm before the Khadra soldier jerked back upright like a puppet on invisible strings, his gun barrel already aimed between Jinx's eyes. Time slowed as the muzzle flared, and behind her, Seraphine screamed. Jinx wrenched her body to the side, but she knew it wouldn't be fast enough this time. All she could do was hope it would only graze her. Instead of hitting her, though, the bullet struck a luminous blue veil that erupted less than a finger's width from Jinx's face and cracks spiderwebbed out across the magical shield. Instantly, the Khadraman swamped targets to Seraphine and took two more shots into the shield while backing up, shattering it. Renata barely had time to yank Seraphine out of the way before the last shot blew past them. A wardsman behind them wasn't so lucky. The shot hit him in the arm, but what should have been a flesh wound simply blew the limb clean off. Four shots. His revolver only had four shots. Jinx was already moving even as the last shot missed. The Khadra killer didn't even bother with a second reload, dropping his gun and pulling a heavy knife, but before he could get in range, Jinx dropped and slid forward as she shouted,
Now!
Behind her, Renata roared,
Fire!
And she, along with every wardsman still standing, and even Seraphine with a smaller, more delicate sidearm, unloaded down the hall, replacing the air with lead. Not even the inhuman Khadraman could avoid that many, although he made an admirable attempt, twisting around the first few shots before all the others hammered home, shattering a blade of plates and sending him staggering while Jinx rolled past him and slung a pair of chompers into his back before rolling away. The explosion threw him forward. Although not as far as it should have, he was too fucking heavy. Two chompers on his back ought to have blown his torso one way and his limbs in four others. Instead, they had barely managed to put him on the ground.
Fuck.
At least he's not getting back up this time. Jinx muttered as she stood up, massaging her jaw and wincing at the way it clicked. What the fuck was this guy made of?
I've never seen anything like that,
Renata said darkly as she knelt beside the supine cadre soldier. The back plates of his armor had been blasted off, but there was more armor past that. Under armor? Jinx scowled as she dropped down across from Renata, brushed away the debris from the explosion, then recoiled as she realized what she was touching. That wasn't Under Armour, or rather, it was, but it hadn't been underneath the Cadreman's plate.
Is that what I think it is?
Renata asked, gritting her teeth as she touched the cold metal layers. What is it? Seraphine leaned over Renata's shoulder to peer down at the dead man.
Plating, Jinx replied quietly. It's subdermal plating.
Renata gripped one of the plates and wrenched it free with a wet squelch that made Seraphine flinch and stagger back. And as she examined the plate, Jinx looked over the meat inside. What little meat there was left. Even underneath the subdermals, there wasn't much to look at. It was damn near a full-body conversion. No wonder the grenades hadn't moved him much. He probably weighed a quarter ton at least. Everything had been augmented, his bones either replaced wholesale or coated in some kind of organic metal, and his organs had been replaced with Hextech synthetics, too. That was way beyond anything Piltover had been doing in the past 10 years. This kind of total Hextech conversion was a pipe dream, even for Victor. The only person who'd ever survived a full conversion was...
Orianna.
Jinx looked up at Renata, who nodded grimly.
I'd wager my other arm this is Corin Revik's work. And it's not just metal, look,
Renata said before tossing the plate she'd been handling to Jinx, who caught it and flipped it over. Threaded through the plates were lines of something paler than whatever lightweight alloy had been used in the implants, and it didn't take Jinx more than a moment to recognize what it was.
Petricite, Jinx breathed,
then shot to her feet as she tossed the plate aside and bolted for the elevator.
Blondie!
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.